Take it away.
Thank you so very much, Richard. That's a wonderful introduction. And my goodness. Richard and Sarah, you guys, thank you for having me. I love you guys dearly. You are my dear, dear friends. So brothers and sisters, Richard and Sarah are true treasures in the Lord, as well as, of course, Daisy as well. And between Nietzsche and Daisy, Richard and Sarah, we're beyond brothers and sisters, we're family. And our children were all born around the same time and kind of grew up together in Africa and here in the States. It's just a blessing to be here and to be asked to speak tonight. So I'm looking forward to having some great time with all of you. So what I'm gonna do right now, I'm gonna share my screen and we'll go ahead and get ourselves started here. All right, let me get that. All right. Let me pull up. Here we are. All right. So this is for you, for all of you in Brooklyn. I love Brooklyn. My sister and my brother-in-law live in Brooklyn. My sister, her name is Maya Feller. She is a dietitian. And oftentimes she's on Good Morning America or the Dr. Oz show or something like that. But they live in Brooklyn with my niece and nephew. And but I've always had a heart for New York. I was born in Boston, but I love New York and I always have. And I'm so grateful. My wife and I both have to the New York church for all the years that you have supported us while we were there in Africa. And so our hearts will forever be with you in New York for sure. All right, let me introduce you to my family. So here we are. So, okay, so I'll start at the, you can recognize me at the very top of that picture. Right next to me is our oldest son, Daniel. He's 29 and he is an insurance agent. Then comes next to him is David. David, he is 26 today. Today is his birthday and he turns 26 today. And next to him is his wife, Hallie. She turns 24 next month. They've been married for 3 years and they are just wonderful. We love them. And then next to Hallie comes Sierra, our youngest. She is 19 and she is David is a high school teacher and Hallie is a middle school teacher. And they also work with our teens here in San Antonio. Now the youngest is at the bottom there with a big, big smile in the middle. That is Sierra. We adopted her from Kenya. And she is a junior at the University of Texas, San Antonio, and she's studying computer science. And then in the very middle, that young lady there is my dear and lovely wife, Janet. She is just the light of my life. We have, as Richard said, been married for 31 years. And because she looks like one of the kids, she is eternally youthful. My dear wife. And then of course, the one taking the picture is my darling Sahai. She is 27, she is a pediatric nurse, and we adopted her from Ethiopia. And my girls, Richard, many, many years ago, we had a talk about, you know, being a dad of girls versus a dad of boys, and he helped me so much. And I'm so close to my darling daughters. I feel very blessed and very honored with the family that God has given me. To shepherd. All right, so that's my family. And so we're all here in South Texas and having a great time. All right, but tonight, I want us to start off with this scripture here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 to 20. Because we'll be talking about the body of Christ tonight. And so I want to read this. It says in verse 12, just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we are all given the one spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. And I wanted to start off our time together tonight with this passage, because what we're going to be talking about tonight is essential to understanding the body of Christ. God has made the body just as he wanted it to be. And your part in the body is exactly the part that God wants you to be in the body. Now, we can always improve in what we're doing and how we serve and et cetera, but as far as who you are, you are the way God made you to be. And we're going to be talking a great deal about that. And each part of the body is essential. And I really believe that this passage really speaks to all of us tonight. The reason is simply this. I don't know what it is, but there's something about we human beings that we're never satisfied with who we are. And in the church in Corinth at the time, there were certainly divisions in the church, but there was a caste division in the church as well. There were elitists versus the more poor in the church. And so this is one of the reasons why Paul was talking to them about, listen, every part is important. Every part is needed. It's not just the eye, but it's also the ear. It's not just the foot, but it's also the head. Every part of the body is important. And so tonight we're going to be talking about how God made us and the type of personalities we have in as human beings, but then also as they apply to our walk in Jesus Christ. So I'm going to say a prayer, and then we're going to dive in to our lesson together tonight. And we'll be talking about true colors, personality, and teamwork. Let's pray together. Father, thank you ever so much for tonight. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for your goodness and kindness in our lives. You do not treat us as our sins deserve. On the contrary, you treat us with grace and mercy. We pray tonight, Father, that as we explore our different personality styles and the different type of people that you made us to be, Father, help us to understand who we are, why you made us this way, that what we're talking about tonight is your design, not our own. And Father, help us to embrace your design for who we are and embrace one another in that design so that we can shine for you and we can be exactly as you design us to be, Father, just a wonderful display of your love, of your creativity, of your diversity, Father, so that the world can know that truly you love us and that we are your children. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for this time. Bless me tonight as I speak, helping to say exactly what you wish for me to say to these wonderful brothers and sisters. We love you, and it is in Jesus' name that we ask all of this. Amen. All right, everybody, here we go. Let's go and have some fun together. All right. Instructions. Now, I believe I understand that you have received the test, and hopefully you've taken the test already. But has everybody taken the test, Rich?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Fantastic. All right. So you add up your numbers at the bottom of the page. Your highest score is your dominant color. And what we're going to be talking about are different personalities. Okay. And now, so your highest score is your dominant color. If we were in person, then we would move to that group, but we're not. We're on Zoom, so that's okay. But to understand that we have two dominant colors, but everyone has all four colors. Everybody, okay? That is a very important thing to understand. Now, what we're going to be doing, it's just easier to remember. Many of us are familiar with Hippocrates' four temperaments, Jung's personality study, and Myers-Briggs. That's widely used. The DISC study is also widely used as well. But this colors, it's just easier to remember. Like my Myers-Briggs, I don't really remember what it is, to be honest with you. I've done it many times. I can never remember if I'm an ENTJP, whatever, but I can remember what color I am. So it's a lot easier to remember. And we use this widely here in San Antonio. And I've taught this over in Africa as well. And it helps us as we study the Bible with people. It helps us in our marriages. It helps us with our parenting. It helps us in our discipling of one another in the church and understanding one another. It helps us in our communication. It helps in so many different ways. All right. The reason. So it's to improve teamwork, to identify commonalities, to acknowledge individuality. And it's an interesting thing because we say that we acknowledge individuality, but really what we acknowledge is our own individuality. But what this should help us do is appreciate the gifts of others and value the methods of others as well. One of the things that I always say is, I like my way of doing things because I always agree with me. And so it's true, we agree with ourselves. And so we think our way of doing things is always the best. I know I certainly do. But there are so many different ways of doing things, and we are the richer and the stronger and the better when we embrace teamwork and embrace each other's personalities and unique gifts as God has gifted us. All right. Do not use this class and these teachings tonight to label or stereotype. The reason this is here is because in our sinful nature, we do this. Once we figure out who we are, again, we agree with ourselves. And so we tend to kind of put down others and make fun of others because of their personality type. And that is not the purpose of this. There's no purpose to doing that. But that really is the way of mankind all over this planet. So we will not be using this to label or stereotype one another. It does not excuse bad behavior, you know, so I can't say, I'll just divulge. My main colors are blue and orange. And I cannot say, well, you know, I did this because I'm orange, or I did this because I'm blue. No, I did this because I'm sinful and I need to repent. Okay, so it's not an excuse for bad behavior. And it's certainly not so we could change other people, okay? My wife Janet, you'll know more about the colors in a minute, but she has a very strong gold, and I don't want to change that. And that brings such a blessing to our family and our lives. And it's great that so I'm more blue orange. She has a very strong blue too, but she has a very strong gold. I don't want her to change that. That is so good. And so this whole exercise is to learn how to work better together, learn how to help each other be more as God designed us to be, and learn how to love one another in a deeper and more comprehensive way. All right. I believe we've already done our scores, okay? So your highest score will be your dominant color, okay? Then you have familiar attributes and things. Your second is a major influence on the first color, okay? And your third and fourth colors are unnatural. They're underdeveloped. You may admire these in others. You have them, but they're just not things that you've worked on before, if that makes sense, okay? And it can cause conflict in others. And we'll get to what that means here in just a little while. All right. This is what the test looked like. Okay. So just in case, you know, you forget. And down here at the bottom, you can see my little arrow. Down here at the bottom, you have your orange score, your green score, your blue score, and your gold score. None of these scores should be more than 20. Okay. 20 is the top you can get. Okay. And so this is what the test looks like. So what I'm going to do now, I'm trusting that you've all taken the test and you all know what your colors are. So now we're going to read this together and talk about just what our colors actually are. Give me one second. Because I retook the test again just to check on myself. Because it is important to check on yourself every once in a while. So I retook the test again. And to see if I've changed, because sometimes over time you can change, okay? And for me, I came out, my score was 20 blue, 13 orange, 11 green, and 6 gold. So my gold has actually went up a little bit. Last time I did it was 3. So my gold went up a little bit, but my blue and my orange and my green tend to be pretty much the same. Okay, so. What is this? Let's start with the greens. So our greens are innovative and logical, okay? They tend to be our scientists. They seek to understand the world. They greens need to be competent so that when they start doing something, they want to achieve proficiency and competence in what they're doing, okay? Greens require intellectual freedom. These are people who need to be able to think freely, okay? They tend to be very curious. And they question authority, not necessarily in a prideful way, but they need to understand why for everything. Okay, so greens tend to question authority. They push themselves to improve. They seek perfection in play. So playing is an important part of human development. But for greens, they seek to perfect what they're doing in play. Okay, many become intellectually isolated because greens, unfortunately, can tend to live in their own heads because they're such deep thinkers, okay? Greens tend to be very deliberate and can be slow to make decisions. They value concise communication. And because of that, they will ask a lot of questions because they want to understand exactly what is being said. Okay. They look for intellectual stimulation. They enjoy intriguing discussions. And so with a green, you can sit and talk about the existential properties of the universe for hours, and they love it. Okay. Sometimes greens can be oblivious to emotions, their own and the emotions of others as well. They can be a bit detached. They believe work is play. And so greens love to work hard and they enjoy it. Okay. They're drawn to technical occupations. They analyze and rearrange systems. And so, for example, a green will look at any type of system, whether it be at the office, or whether it be with a sports team, whether it be in a church, and they'll always be looking how can I improve this? How can we do this better? That tends to be a very green trait, okay? They focus on the future, and greens bring innovation to society. So the fact that we have these wonderful phones, these ones, you can see my phone right here. Greens, you can pretty much bet a green invented this thing. Okay, I'm gonna go down to the golds, then up to the oranges, and I'll finish with the blues. All right, golds. Golds are dutiful and stable people. They need to be useful, okay? Golds have a lot of energy and they need to be useful. They want to be self-sufficient. They value organization. Things that are disorganized drive golds crazy, okay? They value organization. They desire punctuality. They schedule their lives. They make and keep commitments. They measure worth by completion, okay? Not just in doing something, but did you complete it, okay? They are very goal-oriented. They value rules. They prepare for the future. So golds are very forward-thinking people. They're inclined to join groups, okay? They're not isolationists. They like to be in groups, okay? They believe work comes before play. So they have no problem with play, but work comes first. They safeguard tradition. So golds tend to safeguard in whatever culture, whether it be religious tradition, whether it be cultural tradition, whether it be family tradition, whatever it is, they safeguard tradition. They prefer order and cleanliness. They are responsible and dedicated. They're drawn to respected occupations, such as clergy, police, law enforcement, the law, up to becoming a judge, things like that, principals. So they'll be teachers, but they'll be drawn to being a principal. They enjoy positions of authority. They desire structure. And golds bring stability to society, okay? So greens bring innovation, golds bring stability. All right, let's talk about our oranges, our orange personalities. Oranges are free and spontaneous. They are impulsive risk takers. They are active, they are optimistic. They resist commitment. They can become virtuosos, which is why some of our most respected virtuosos musically, for example, are most likely oranges, okay? They thrive on crises. So a crisis can shut down other personality types, but not oranges. Oranges can plow right on through. They're drawn to tools. They like to be the center of attention. Hence, entertainers, sports figures, many tend to be orange or have very strong orange traits. They're drawn to action jobs. They need variety. Oranges can get bored very quickly. They're dynamic, animated communicators. They are competitive. They deal with the here and now. They're bold in relationships. They are generous. They have difficulty finding acceptance. And we'll talk a bit about why later on tonight. They like to live in a casual atmosphere. Some might say a messy atmosphere, but a casual atmosphere. And these people bring excitement to society. And so you see, we need greens. We need that innovation. We need goals. We need that stability, absolutely, in society. But we need that excitement as well. And finally, let's talk about our blues. Our blues are in search of themselves, okay? Hence, I'm a blue. I'm still looking, haven't found myself yet. In search of ourselves. They need to feel unique. They must be true to themselves. They look for symbolism. They value close relationships. They encourage expression. They like others to express themselves. They desire quality time with loved ones. They need opportunities to be creative. They are very good at compromise and cooperation. They nurture people, plants, and animals. They look beyond the surface. So they don't just take things at face value. They look at, okay, what's going on behind what I'm seeing here? They share emotions. They make decisions based on feelings. They need harmony. Blues are adaptable. They're drawn to literature and are drawn to nurturing careers. So many of our nurses, your wonderful nurses and medical professionals in New York who are just absolute heroes, particularly in any right, but especially during this COVID season, they tend to be blues. They get involved in causes. They're committed to ideals, and blues bring unity to society. Blues are all about bringing people together. So oranges bring excitement. Greens bring innovation. They keep us moving. And golds keep us stable even as we are moving ahead, okay? So that's just a brief overview of what the four colors are. And I know that even as I'm speaking, you're already thinking, not just about yourself, but you're already identifying people in your family, people that you work with, people in your neighborhood, that you're already suspecting they might be green, gold, orange, or blue. All right, let's move on. So on this chart right here, I wanted to show you that this idea of the four temperaments, I mentioned it earlier, down at the bottom line there is Hippocrates. And he was Greek and, thousands of years ago. What he did is he separated human personalities into four types: melancholic, choleric, phlegmatic, and sanguine. And you may have heard these terms before. The ancient Egyptians, but also Eastern world, Chinese, Japanese. So you have water, earth, air, and fire, or sun. You know, so shout out to all my Last Airbender fans as well. Okay, so they separated personalities into water, earth, air, and fire, and they correspond to blue, gold, green, and orange. All right, let's move on. All right, we're gonna start with our blues, okay? Our blues. Now, blues, the traits, we're gonna talk a little bit about the traits and the stressors for blues, okay? And remember, these personality types, this is who God made you to be because who you are is important to society, okay? Blues bring unity, as we said. So the traits, blues tend to be optimistic, accepting, supportive. They're caretakers, enthusiastic, passionate, true romantics, peacemakers, okay? Think of your children, you know, which ones are the peacemakers? Peacemakers, cooperative, spiritual, and people-oriented, okay? Now, the stressors, and this is important to understand. Because if you're dealing with a blue, then you'll know that conflict will stress a blue out. Isolation. This time of COVID has been extremely difficult for everyone. Blues in particular, because blues are people. Very much like the oranges, but blues are people. And so isolation is just so difficult if you are a blue personality. Rejection is a stressor for blues. Negativity. Blues, like, you know, because they're optimistic, you know, when if you come at them with negativity, that stresses out a blue and they will react. Blues do not like to feel used, okay? Apathy, if you're apathetic about something, that really can stress a blue personality out. Insincerity. Sincerity is important. Honesty and sincerity, that's very important for blue personalities. So insincerity can really stress a blue out. So think about this in terms of marriages. If you're married to a blue personality and you're not sincere, you can probably look back and see, oh, well, that caused some conflict in our relationship, okay? Lack of acknowledgement or appreciation. For example, if you greet a blue at work or wherever you are, and this is someone or in your family, and you immediately start talking about, hey, you know, you'll say, hey, can you do this? Can you do that? Can you do the other? The blue is the person who's going to look at you and say, good morning. And then you can talk about, you know, whatever, because blues, you know, acknowledgement, the blues want you to acknowledge, hey, notice I'm here, say hello, say good morning, and then we can talk about whatever business you want to talk about. Hopefully that makes sense. Again, not being genuine, linked to insincerity. Not sharing. Blues share with everybody. And if you don't share, you can even see this with children. If you don't share, the blue personality is that's a stressor, okay? And funny enough, saying no. It's not saying no to the blue personality. It's the blue personality saying no to others. Because blue personalities tend to be so cooperative and so amenable, it's very difficult for a blue to say no. Hey, you know, so you ask this person, hey, can you do this? The blue person, yep. Now, it might cause them stress to do it, but it'll cause them more stress to say no, if that makes sense. All right, let's move on with the blues. Perceptions. Blues see themselves as caring, trusting, giving the benefit of the doubt, tirelessly working for a cause, supportive, and genuinely interested in others. However, others may see blue personalities as not caring, but too emotional, not trusting, but naive, not tirelessly working for a cause, but overcommitted, not supportive, but smothering, and not genuinely interested in others, but nosy, mind your own business, right? So that can be, it's interesting how we see ourselves and then how others see us. And we're going to go through this with each color tonight. And so it should be a fun exercise for everybody. Okay. So perceptions matter. And we know this as disciples and as adults in the world, we know that perceptions matter. How you see yourself matters, but also you need to be aware of how others may see you as well. Okay. Relating to work. If you're talking to a blue personality at work, acknowledge them. Like I said earlier about the, hey, good morning, how are you? Be personable. Listen for feelings. And then if you're having a talk, a deeper talk with them, do that privately. You don't want to have a public talk with a blue person, okay? Hear them out. Blues need to be able to express themselves, okay? A feedback sandwich, what is that? Well, if you need to give a blue personality negative feedback, then couch it with positive feedback. So positive, then, you know, you say, hey, you know, I really see that you do this well, this, that, this, and the other. Build them up and then say, however, but there is one thing I want to point out that I'd like you to work on. And you give the feedback. And then, but you know what? But I'm so grateful that, you know, that you're this, that, and the other. Okay. And what I'm saying here may not be very New York. Okay. Or very large city, because in truth, every large city that I have been in the world, has that, you just don't have time to be kind all the time. But as disciples, we work on this, all right? Because the world would know that we are Jesus' disciples by our love one for another. And so we try very hard not to adopt the culture around us, but rather affect the culture around us by being more like Jesus. Thus, feedback sandwich for blues. All right, limit sarcasm and teasing. So if you tease a blue personality, they will take it so personally. And you have to be, and they won't say anything. So you have to be very careful. So when you're talking to a blue, limit your sarcasm and your teasing. Now, if you are a blue personality, look, recognize if you are reading between the lines. Sometimes when people are telling you something, it's exactly what they're telling you. There's no ulterior motive. There's nothing that you don't have to read between the lines. Blues, we love to read between the lines. Okay, what are you really saying? What they're really saying is what they're saying. Okay, there's nothing more. So you have to recognize when you're doing that, and hold yourself back. If you're blue, add no to your vocabulary. Okay, it's all right to tell people no. Their feelings won't be hurt. Also, speak up. It's okay to be direct. Blues don't like to hurt people's feelings. And so sometimes they don't want to just speak up, but it's okay to speak up. You don't have to be mean about it, obviously, but it's okay to be direct. Blues are so kind in general, it's very difficult for you to be mean. So just go ahead and speak up. And discern when you are rambling. Know when to get to the point, okay? Blues, we love to hear ourselves talk and we go on and on and on. Blues, get to the point. All right. The benefits of blues on the team, okay? Blues are enthusiastic, so enthusiasm, mentoring. Blues love to bring others along and share their knowledge and help people do better and to grow, okay? Team building. Blues are outstanding at team building. Support. Blues tend to be very supportive. And so if you are the leader, you want a blue by your side to support you, okay? And empathy. Blues are very empathetic. They feel what others feel, and others' feelings are important to them. That's important. Everybody needs to have all these qualities on any team, okay? Now, it can't be the whole team, but certainly on the team, okay? Now, here are some classic blues, okay? So we have Lieutenant Uhura for all our Star Trek fans. She was blue. Oprah Winfrey is a blue. Martin Luther King Jr., blue. This person right here, this is Frodo Baggins from Lord of the Rings. He was a classic blue. For all our Harry Potter fans, this is Ron Weasley, okay? And he is quite the blue. This is Taylor Swift. And she, like many other artists, she's also a strong blue. And of course, in Winnie the Pooh, Pooh is blue. All right, let's move on to the next color. Goals. Okay, our goals. Our traits, so our goals like to be prepared. Goals like a structured environment. Goals are well organized. They follow through. They are detail oriented. They love to plan. They are just gifted when it comes to planning. Goals are punctual. Goals are not going to be late. Okay, they are procedural. Okay, so in other words, there's a way to do things with goals. You do A, then you do B, then you do C. You do not do A and then D and then come back to C and B when you feel like it. No. Goals are very procedural. Goals follow rules because they believe rules are there for a reason. They value tradition, as I mentioned earlier, and goals tend to be frugal, and they tend to be very good with money. That's why goals make excellent accountants and money managers, because they tend to be frugal, okay? Stressors. What stresses a goal out? Lack of follow through. If you don't follow through on something, that will drive a goal crazy. Not adhering to schedule or plans. So going, you know, if we have a time schedule from this time to this time, then that's what you need to do. If you're going to change that, then you need to communicate that, okay? So not adhering to schedule or plans, that stresses the goals out. Change can stress goals out. Unclear expectations. Goals need to know, you know, what is expected of me so that I can meet those expectations. Not knowing where they fit, not belonging. Goals need to belong. Okay. And it's very stressful to a goal personality if they feel like they don't belong somewhere. Lack of consistency, leadership, or a master plan. So if the goal is not the leader and the person they're following does not display consistency, leadership, or a plan, it's very stressful for a goal personality. Goals do not like to be forced to neglect family time or tradition. That's very important to goals. Our goal personalities are stressed out by missing deadlines, and rule breakers stress out goals. Okay. All right, let's move on. Perceptions. Goals see themselves as stable and dependable, knowing what's best, responsible, goal-oriented, and punctual. Others can see goals as not stable and dependable, but rigid and stubborn. Not knowing what's best, but judgmental. Not responsible, but bossy and controlling. Not goal-oriented, but a workaholic. And not punctual, but rigid about time. Okay, so it's important, again, for us to see ourselves as we are. That's important, but also understanding that others may see us a little bit differently, in particular with these perceptions here with the gold. All right, relating to work. When talking to a gold, communicate in writing. So memos, written memos, emails are very, very effective ways to communicate with a gold personality. Do not interrupt. Goals, because they're very procedural in their thinking, when they're talking, there's a procedure, there's a cadence, there's a rhythm to what they're saying. If you interrupt that rhythm, that is not a good thing, okay? Invariably, a goal personality will start back at the beginning where they started so they can complete their thought. Be specific when talking to a goal. Do not be vague, be specific. Closure. When you're finished talking with a gold, there needs to be closure to the conversation. Goals do not like to be left hanging. Stay on target, task, topic, time. Stay on target when talking with a gold personality and be consistent. Do not say one thing today and then the next thing tomorrow, okay? You have to be consistent with a gold personality. Now, if you are gold, have patience when others talk in different directions. So there are certain personalities, and you know, usually oranges. Golds and oranges tend to be at odds with each other, simply because their personalities are so contrary. And so golds need to learn to have patience with when others talk in different directions. Be open-minded and consider other options. Okay, be aware of how hard if you are the leader, be aware of how hard you're driving yourself and others. Ease up a little bit. And accept others' way of doing things if the ultimate goal is the same. If someone has an idea, it's different from yours, but the result and the ultimate goal is the same, you know, be open to accepting that idea as opposed to remaining with your own goals. Are highly intelligent people. And so when they feel like they're right, oftentimes they actually are right. But not always. And that's where humility comes in and being able to be patient, open-minded, aware, and accepting of others. Okay. The benefits of gold on the team: planning, supervision, rules and policies, accuracy. Golds are accurate, and organization and categorization. These are critical for families, for teams, for organizations, for churches. We need goals. So having a goal personality on the team will keep you moving in the right direction. All right, here are some famous goals, okay? Star Trek, Mr. Sulu was a gold, classic gold. George Washington was gold. Mr. Rogers was gold. Martha Stewart as well. Hermione Granger for our Harry Potter files. And then in the world of Winnie the Pooh, this is Rabbit. Rabbit is a classic gold personality. All right, greens. All right, so our greens, as I said earlier, innovative, inventive, they're problem solvers. They have a why mentality. They're calm, cool, collected. They're intellectual. They're independent, analytical, and strategic. Relationships are logical. They tend to be perfectionistic, and they're usually tech savvy. So your greens are the people who are going to build computers, okay? Or who can rewire a house or rewire speakers. And the greens are incredibly creative and tech savvy. Now, stressors for greens. Greens tend to be overly sensitive people, okay? Greens are stressed out by overly sensitive people, So blues, for example, we blues can stress greens out. I know a couple, the husband is a green, the wife is a blue. We are constantly talking about that, how he is stressed out by her emotions. Lack of independent thinking stresses greens out, okay? Small talk. Greens do not want to waste any time on small talk. Get to the point. Mistakes and ineptitude in self, because they're very hard on themselves, or in others. Thus, they're hard on others as well. Decisions made with no data. Now, think of your teens. Think of the people who you live with. Think of the people you work with. If a decision is made, but there's no data supporting that. For example, during COVID, if decisions were made, whether this mandate or that mandate, or mask here, no mask there, this, that, and the other, if the data did not back it up, it was incredibly stressful for everybody, but certainly for green personalities as well. Redundancy or routine. Greens do not like doing the same thing over and over and over again. Greens cannot stand red tape. That's a stressor for greens. Greens, if there's nothing new to look forward to, there's no variety, greens lose hope. And that's a real stressor for greens. And greens do not like to be made to look incompetent. Remember, being competent, being proficient, that matters to greens. And so if in a group they are made to look incompetent, that is a major stressor for green personalities. All right, perceptions. Greens see themselves as knowledgeable, while others may see them as intellectual snobs. Greens see themselves as confident, whereas others may see them as arrogant. Greens see themselves as innovative, whereas others may see them as eccentric and just plain out weird. Greens see themselves as independent. Others see them as antisocial. Greens are logical. Others see them as heartless. If you are a fan of Jeopardy, as am I love the TV show Jeopardy. Many of the people on Jeopardy are greens. Golds as well, but certainly greens. Knowledgeable, confident, quick, logical, you know, and you have to be that innovative to play games like Jeopardy. They tend to be more green personalities. Not all, but many, okay? Now, relating to work, if you're talking to a green personality, give them time to think. I cannot tell you how many times I have many dear friends of mine who are green personality. You cannot say to a green, you know, you're talking with a green and then just say, hey, what do you think? And expect them to give you an answer right away. Greens need time to think, okay? You need to give them independence. If you give them a task, give them the independence to do that task. Don't be, you can't be, you know, a micromanager. Greens cannot be micromanaged, okay? They need independence. Stick to logic. If you're talking with a green, stick with logic. If you stray into the realm in your conversation, if you stray into the realm of emotion, that will unsettle a green personality. Stick to logic, because they can follow that logical train of thought. Okay, recognize their contributions and intelligence, and don't misinterpret their need for information. This is really, really important with greens, because greens need to understand why. They will ask a lot of questions, and certain personalities don't like to be asked questions, right? And they'll interpret greens as troublemakers. They're not troublemakers. They're seeking clarification. So don't misinterpret their need for information, okay? Now, if you are a green personality, ease up on the whys, okay? Let others express their emotion. learn to listen without fixing, because greens are problem solvers. As soon as they hear a problem, they want to fix it. This can cause a lot of friction, particularly in a marriage, but really in any type of relationship. When someone is talking to a green, the green will immediately go into fixing mode. Okay, this is not just a male trait, it tends to be a green trait. Although many greens tend to be male, but it's not exclusive. Save the debate. Greens love to debate. They love a good debate. Whereas a debate can wear other people out, greens, man, they're just getting going. They love it, okay? And they inform others when you are processing. What can happen with a green is you're talking with a green personality. All of a sudden, it looks like their face shuts down. No expression, nothing. What's happening is they're processing. They're thinking. And if you are a blue personality or a more emotive personality, you can be talking to the green expecting some type of facial feedback. That's not happening with the green. The green is thinking. They're hearing everything you're saying and they're processing and they're thinking it, but that doesn't translate oftentimes to their face. And so the greens can have a very, very stoic face, but they're processing, okay? So you as a green, let people know, hey, I'm just thinking. So you're aware of how you're coming across. Okay. The benefits of green on the team: information. The greens will always have the right information. Ideas. Greens are idea machines. They got ideas for everything. Creativity. Objective decision making. Sometimes we let our emotions cloud our decisions. That is not a problem for greens. Greens can make objective decisions without being overly influenced by emotion. Firmness. Greens can be very firm, and you need that on a team. And critique and improvement. A green can see immediately, okay, this is what just happened. Okay, this is what was wrong with what just happened, and this is how we can make it better. Okay, that's the benefit of having greens on your team. Greens are essential to any team. As we said earlier, they bring innovation to society. All right, some of our famous greens: Mr. Spock. Of course, I was talking a great deal about logic. So Mr. Spock in Star Trek, very green. Abraham Lincoln was a green. Steve Jobs, okay, innovative, right? Harry Potter, a green. Benjamin Franklin, great inventor, very green. And in the Winnie the Pooh world, Owl was very, very green. All right. And finally, our oranges. And this is our last color that we'll be discussing tonight, and then I'll give you some homework. The reason we're doing oranges last is because oranges tend to be very impatient. And if we started with the oranges, they would not have listened to any of the other colors. So that's why we put the orange. I'm not kidding. That's why we put the oranges last. So you hold their attention all the way to the end because they're waiting for their own color. All right. Because oranges are energetic. They like change. They are playful. They are master negotiators. They are natural entertainers. Oranges push boundaries. Is there a boundary? Okay, then the orange is going to push it, okay? They are fine with chaos. Doesn't bother them at all. Oranges make things happen. They are spontaneous and carefree, and they thrive in non-structured environments, okay? Stressors for oranges: a lack of freedom or choices, feeling trapped is incredibly stressful for orange personalities. Not being able to use their skills is stressful also, because they tend to be very skillful in what they do. Remember, they can become virtuosos, and having these abilities and skills and not being able to use them is incredibly stressful for an orange personality. being forced to keep quiet or not participate. So if you have children who are oranges, you don't need to spank them. Just put them in the corner. That is a stressor. You don't need to spank orange kids. Okay. In truth, spanking orange kids is pretty useless anyway, because it doesn't bring about what you're hoping to bring about. Okay. Insufficient attention. Oranges need attention. So insufficient attention is a stressor for oranges. Waiting, slow actions. And you know, so if you, you know, you're in traffic, you're driving, your oranges, they're honking their horns. They're like, hey, come on, let's go. Come on. Hey, what's going on? Let's move. Okay, that's a very orange trait. Indecisiveness. Orange, that stresses an orange out. Orange is like, what do you mean you don't know what to do? Come on, let's do this. Come on, let's move. So indecisiveness can stress an orange out. Routine. Oranges do not like doing the same thing over and over again, very similar to greens. The same thing, routine stresses them out. A lack of physical contact. Oranges tend to be very affectionate and very touchy-feely. And so a lack of physical contact is very difficult for oranges. Hence, isolation, quarantine, these types of things, very difficult for orange personalities. Difficult for everyone, but in particular, difficult for orange personalities as well. Because as disciples, we are very, very touchy-feely. We hug each other. We love each other. We greet each other with a holy kiss. These things matter to oranges. Obviously during quarantine, not being able to be together was really detrimental to orange personalities. Details and paperwork. Oranges do not want to be bothered with the details. They don't want to hear that. We're going. Okay, how are we going? I don't care. But we're going. Yeah, but where are we going? That doesn't matter either, but we're going. So details, don't bother oranges with the details, okay? And they hate paperwork, okay? So when oranges buy a house, that's tough because you got to sit there and sign everything, okay? Inactivity and the restriction of physical movement is just horrible for orange personalities. All right, let me move on. Perceptions. Oranges see themselves as straightforward. Others may see them as rude, blunt, and with no filter. Okay, I'm sure all of us, we have certain orange personalities in mind already, even with that first one. They keep their options open. Others may see them as irresponsible. Oranges see themselves as easygoing. Others may see them as not serious. Oranges see themselves as flexible. Others see them as people who ignore the rules. And oranges see themselves as master negotiators, and others see them as manipulative. They don't see you negotiating, they see you being manipulative just to get your way. Okay. Relating to work, when talking to an orange, lighten up. Okay. Don't be so serious. Match their speed. Oranges are quick, they're very intelligent, very energetic people. So match their speed, keep up with them. Okay. Appreciate their flair. Okay. So the orange is not going to keep wearing the same suit all the time. Okay. Appreciate their flair. All right. And be direct and to the point when talking to an orange. They do appreciate that. They don't want you to beat around the bush. You know, they want, you know, be direct, go to the point. Oranges like that. Again, that is a trait of impatience, but it's also, it's a very strong trait as well. If you are an orange, please be aware of how you're coming across. Give people time to process, because remember, orange is like, come on, let's go. Well, people need time to process. So oranges, give people time to process and pause before committing. Oranges will just, you know, if you ask them to do something, yeah, sure. They may not know how, where, and all the details you need to make a decision. They don't have any of that. So just take a beat, pause before committing to any type of action, okay? Particularly in relating to how you are at work. All right. The benefits of having oranges on your team, oranges bring energy. Oranges bring risk-taking. Oranges bring entertainment. They bring laughs. They bring negotiation because they are very strong in their negotiation skills, and they bring honesty, okay? They bring honesty. All right. Here are some famous oranges, and I'm going to add a few here. So Captain Kirk in the Star Trek never saw a rule that he didn't want to break. John F. Kennedy was an orange. Prince Harry is an orange, not just his hair, but he is also an orange. That's why he all the rules of Buckingham Palace, not his thing. This is from Harry Potter. That is Draco Malfoy. And so he's quite the orange in the Harry Potter world. Lucille Ball, if any of us remember her, she would, again, not just the hair, but just her personality, very clear orange. And if you know the Winnie the Pooh world, then you know that Tigger, who bounces everywhere and is constantly in motion, is a classic orange. But also, Michael Jordan is an orange. Barack Obama is an orange as well. And you could just, you know, come up with so many more because oranges, they tend to stand out in a crowd. Okay, so this is it. This is how we're starting our time. Okay, next week, in 2 weeks, we'll be back together. But I have some homework I want to leave you with very quickly. Okay, so before we see you on February 23rd for part two, here's what I'd like you to do. Using what we've talked about tonight and using what we've learned, I'd like you to go into the scriptures and identify. There are two things I want you to do. First, identify four biblical personalities, four people in the Bible. One who is gold, very clearly. One who is clearly blue. One who is clearly green. And one who is clearly orange. Okay? So you could probably think of some off the top of your head, but I want you to look into the scriptures and read about these four people and see why they are the way they are, how God made them to be that way. And in doing that, I think you'll begin to understand, because sometimes I've looked in the scriptures and I've seen certain personalities doing certain things, and I wondered, why doesn't God rebuke them in the way that I think they should? He should, because they're being exactly as God designed them to be. Okay, and he treats us. He does what is best for us in everything. And so, identify four people: one blue, one gold, one green, one orange, in the Old or New Testaments. Okay, and why? And the second thing is this: Jesus. Remember, at the very beginning, I said that we all have all four colors, and we do. Jesus has all four colors as well, and he used them all equally. And what I'd like you to do is look in the scriptures and find me four instances: an instance when Jesus was blue, an instance where he was green, an instance where he was gold, and an instance when he was orange. Okay? And remember, you have them too. I do. One thing I will add, I'll say this for next time. I'll tell you about this next time. So, but identify four times when Jesus was each of the four colors, okay? One time when he was green, when he was blue, when he was gold, and when he was orange, okay? So that's what I would like you to do. So I'm asking you to dive into your Bible and now start looking at people in the scriptures, our Lord Jesus, but then also four other personalities of your choice, four other people, male or female, of your choice in the scriptures, and identify what you think are their dominant personalities, and then you can tell us why next time, okay? So I'm sure there were questions and comments in the chats. So Richard, I'm done for tonight. I'm gonna turn it over to you. And if there are any questions or whatever you'd like us to do next, we can do.